as Israel, or not yet Israel, as the people of God have left the ark and they step onto the fields of Shinar, the Bible makes a very interesting comment, I believe is what hinders many times us from getting anything from God. It says that they were of one language and one speech. They all said the same thing. They all said it in the same tongue. And if we're not careful, we can come into the presence of God and one can speak the language of tired. Another one can speak the language of I'm hungry. Another one can speak the language of, well, I'm just coming to do my time. It's like we've come just to do, you know, we do 30 minutes in church, we're good. And then we're ready to go. I wonder what would happen in the next few moments. See, the only other time we see this. So one of two things happens. God comes down, he goes, I'm going to scatter them because they're in one language and one speech for the wrong thing. The next time we see this, we don't see it until the book of Acts. And the Bible says it this way, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. If you want to get in one accord, if you will all get your mind in the same place, your language in the same place, your heart in the same place, then the Holy Ghost will begin to thunder in this house. Can we do that just for a moment? Come on. I need everybody. I need everybody. Get your mind upon Jesus. I need everybody to get your voice, to get your heart, to get your focus, to get it on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, can we do that right now? Oh, we praise you, God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, we thank you. We thank you again. We thank you again. We thank you again. Now for a moment, I'm not going to let you sit down. If you would turn to me in your, scripture in 1 Peter 2 and 24, I want to thank your pastor for getting this opportunity. He said, we're doing foot washing and communion. Would you speak on communion? I said, absolutely. And then he calls me back and said, we're not doing foot washing. We're just doing communion this time. Preach what the Lord wants you to preach. So I said, that's even better. But then the Lord never let me leave communion. The longer, I'm weird. I'll just put it aside and say, okay, God, I'm going to pray. And then whatever you want me to say, say. And I'll just begin to open my heart, my mind, let him speak. And then he spoke this, so I'm going to speak on communion. I wish I was some cool guys. I could have a title that you won't forget, but I don't tend to do that. I just tend to talk about fat people the whole time I preach, and I just do my best. So I'm going to do my best to give you a title. Hopefully you'll remember, but if not, oh well. It's just for me to write it down so I won't preach the same message twice in the same place. But for this few moments, I'm going to preach to you this, looking backward to a future hope. And so we are going to preach on the blood. Again, thank you, Pastor, First Lady, First Family, Church. You always tell who loves God because that's when they show up on Wednesdays. They show up on Sundays to do their time. They're just coming to check in so they don't go to hell. Sunday nights, they may like the church. By Wednesday, you love God. But if you're here and you're not focused in the service, I don't know if you love God. You're just pretending. So hopefully you're with me. You better. We're going to take the bread and the blood here in a minute. 1 Peter 2 and 24, who is own self bear our sins in his body on the tree that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 and 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a sheep, a lamb before the slaughter, and a sheep before his shears is dumb, and so he opened not his mouth. We find two things. We find where he bore our sins. We find the reason for him dying on a cross. And so we will do our best to look backward to a future hope. You may be seated. Keep your pastor in. If you've lost a loved one, if you've lost a family member, you understand the pain that it causes. It is not something that is gotten over easily. In fact, there is a whole section of counseling just simply dealing with grief. Your pastor sweetly tried to make excuses for him not being here. And I wanted to tell him, I wanted him to just simply go, hey, man, I got you. I love you. Praying for you. Go do what you got to do. My father passed away when I was very young, and I would give an awful lot just for an hour. So keep your pastor in your prayers. In fact, it would be good if you just pushed away from a meal and just said, God, will you let peace be upon him and his family and peace into that room? I feel the Holy Ghost. So I just challenge you, take a day, not only beforehand, but also afterward. And just remember, hey, you know what? Don't come tell him you know how he feels. No. Just tell him, you know what? We love you and we're praying for you. That's the best thing you can do. As we begin this narrative in Scripture, we find that the children of Abraham would be in bondage. Genesis tells us this as God begins to prophesy to Abraham. Genesis 15, the Lord said to Abraham, know this for certain that your offspring will be aliens in a land that is not theirs. I'm reading from the NRSV. And shall be oppressed 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve. And afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. And so as we begin this, we find that the people of God, they have been 400 years in a strange land. They have been 400 years being beaten. They have been 400 years in bondage. They have 400 years suffered death at the hands of those that have tried to control them. If you will, their social norms are being controlled by others. And so they live in fear. They live in brokenness. Their bodies are broken. Not only their mind, their children are being put to death. All they know is the whip. All they know is the blistering sun. All they know by now is how to get and make brick, to build what is not theirs. All they know is somewhere there is a promise, but I don't know where God is. And this foreshadows where we are right now. And in the next bit, we will find that it foreshadows what is to come, but what will be seen on a global scale. We see this 400 years and because we're here and we know the story and out of this, the people begin to moan and God brings a savior to come and be born. And so we move quickly through the 400 years. And now we know that Moses has stepped on the scene. He comes to Pharaoh with a stick and with a simple trick. And that's a little rude. Well, the Bible says that Pharaoh's magicians could do the same. All Moses has is he has one line. Let my people go. All Moses has is one thing. I can put my hand in my bosom and I can throw my rod down, but I don't have anything else. Fast forward, and there God tells him, just keep saying, let my people go. And so as we walk into this, see, it's easy to judge Israel. I don't know about you, when you read your Bible, how many do the bread chart? You'd read, I'm going to read it once a year. How many do the whole once a year thing? How many of you do? How many of you even read your Bible? I mean, let's just ask that. Some of y'all just lying. You're like, well, I don't want him to think bad of me. I read it when I walk and I see a sign saying, let my people go or something. When I go by, I look on there and hopefully he put a scripture on the church sign. I've read my Bible for the day. As you read it, it's easy to get angry with Israel. What a bunch of knuckleheads. God lets them out. All they do is whine. Hang on, I'm going to set you up, so keep laughing. All they do is whine. All they do is complain. I mean, bless God. If that was me, I'd be like, and God set you free. And all you do is whine. And all you do is complain. So before we get mad at them, let's change our vantage. Let's change our vista. Let's change our outlook. All they know is bondage. All they know is the whip. All they know is stay in your lane. All they know is you're only going to get what I give you. And so they're leaving what has been their social norm. They are leaving the confines of what they feel comfortable in. I don't got time to go into the whole abuse thing and why a woman would stay in an abusive relationship, because she's comfortable in that paradigm. I don't got time to go all into it, but we get the same way. And what Moses is saying is, hey, I'm going to upthrow your social norm. See, that's why they couldn't get it. And now, Lord tells Moses and Aaron, the land of Egypt, this month shall mark when he began the months. I got a lot of reading, so I'm going to go quick. And it shall be the first month of the year for you. And so Passover began the first month of a new year. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, you are to take a lamb for each family and the lamb for each household. And the lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. It goes on, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. And then the whole assembly congregation shall slaughter it at twilight. Here we go. Passover. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they shall eat it. And they shall eat the lamb in the night, and shall eat it roasted over fire with unleavened bread. Again, it's the Passover, unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Let's go all the way down. And how shall you eat it? Now, I need you to get this before you get anything else. When you begin to take communion, you've got to take it with one mentality. I got my shoes on my feet. I got my clothes on my back. I got my rod in my hand, and I got my gear packed up, because when I take Passover, when I take communion, I'm not meant to stay where I'm at. There's somewhere God wants to take me, and it's not to be in bondage. It's not to be broken. It's not. You got to understand, when you take it, it's God saying, come on, I got somewhere for you to go, and it's not where you are right now. Come on, if you only understood what it means when you do it in remembrance of him, it's to let you know that it is a weapon of mass destruction that will bring me a breakthrough and destroy my adversary and remind me of what God brought me out of. You got to eat it with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it hurriedly. It is a Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt at night, and I will strike down the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the human beings and the animals, and all the gods of Egypt. And I will execute judgment. I am the. That is why we look back and make sure there's no leaven. So we often do it. We often preach, and we preach it right. I'm not preaching, I preach it wrong. We often preach it because you do it unworthily. Because there's leaven in your life. Because there's sin, and we have to do that. But that is the back look. The blood shall be a sign for you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you and strike the land of Egypt. And this day shall be a day of remembrance for you, and you shall celebrate it as a festival unto the Lord throughout your generations, and it shall be an observance. It is a perpetual ordinance. 7 days, it goes on. I'm not going to read it all, but 7 days you got to hold a solemn assembly and all of this. And he says it again, and you shall observe the festival of the bread. On that very day I brought you out of your companies out of the land of Egypt, and you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a perpetual ordinance. This is Passover. It is an interesting thing, because when you look at the word, it means permission. It means, i.e., exemption. But it speaks of the Jewish Passover. It speaks of a festival or of a victim. When you take Passover, when you take communion, it is either a festival or you are setting yourself up to be a victim. And so we're used to this. We're used to the looking back. We're used to looking back and saying, look what God has done for me. But if we're not careful, we will only look back to what God delivered us from, but never believe that God has any more for us. It seems that in this shedding of blood, that in God bringing them out, it wasn't quite enough. If you began to look at the sacrifice, it seems as if the sins of that time were only rolled forward, were never quite washed away. Hebrews 10 and 4 tells us the law was only a shadow of the good things to come and not the true form of these realities. It goes on and he says it can never, by the same sacrifices that were continually offered year after year, make perfect those who approach. Otherwise, they would not have ceased being offered, since a worshiper ceased once and for all. No longer would they have any conscience of sin. But these sacrifices there is a reminder of sin year after year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So in the past, it seems that for Israel, the blood of bulls and goats only push the sins away. They were forever, but in front of them, this momentary lapse where God would say, I'm going to remove it away. They had to come back a year again, and they had to do it again for a people. Maybe it was simply a reminder that they were a sinner. But if blood and bulls and goats could not wash it away, we got an old song that says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if we are not careful, we will begin to look at our past as if it is always perpetually in front of our eyes. And so we live for God having his blood applied to our lives. We live for God having the Holy Ghost on the inside. And yet if we are not careful, we will live in such a state that we always believe that we are going to fail and we are going to falter, and that our adversary is constantly sitting on our shoulder, making us fall into sin. Well, you know who you are. You only go so far in God because... well, if you only remember, it would be like an Israelite looking at their neighbor and going, look at the stripes that I had to take from my adversary. Look at the crippledness of my fingers. Yes, I'm out of Egypt, but look at my gnarled body. Look, do you recognize that one of the greatest miracles in all of Scripture is told by David in Psalms, that when Israel left Egypt, there was not one feeble among them. Do you recognize that when God brings you out, he doesn't bring you out and leave you in shambles? When he brings you out, he said, not only do I want to heal you and save you, but I want you to be whole. You got to make up in your mind. I got to understand this price that was paid. I got to understand the power of communion. And I got to understand what it means when God passes over my life. And so we find Israel having left, the Bible says, with a high hand. And we find it almost seems as if this motif of them leaving Egypt is the same thing we live in today. Because they leave and they quickly find themselves in their first trial. The Egyptians behind them. Pharaoh breathing down their neck, the Red Sea in front of them. And what they left when they were delivered is now seeking to destroy them. And Moses was like, you don't get it. God didn't bring you out here to leave you. And Moses says, I'm reading from the NRSV version. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. For the Lord will fight for you, and you will only have to keep still. You have to understand, when God does a work, at one time you were in bondage. At one time you were dead to your sins. At one time you were broken. At one time you were slave in your mentality. In one time you were hopeless and helpless. But you need to understand, when you are living for God, the next time you see your enemy, you will only see them floating. You will only see a memory. But they will not have the power over you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The reason why we don't ever live an overcoming life is because we're just like Israel. We think God brought us out, but he's left us somewhere to fend for ourselves. That is not so. God wants to give you a victory, not only of your past, but your mentality in how you view your adversary and how you view God. And so the backwards look to the future hope is power of the blood in bulls and goats was not enough. We find another lamb come. This time it comes to their present. He comes saying things like this: take, eat, this is my body. He comes with messages like this: I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Comes ending that passage from Isaiah saying to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That literally speaks of jubilee. Come to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim to the captive, proclaim sight to the blind, proclaim liberty to the bruised, all of that. And he wraps it up by saying to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He's saying, I've come to bring jubilee. I've come to give you back what your adversary took from you. And with all of this, it accumulates into this moment where they are in an upper room, and now Jesus, the 12, does what we are about to do in a moment. He takes a loaf and he blessed it, then he broke it, gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup after giving thanks and gave it to them and said, all ye drink from it, this is the blood of my covenant, which will be poured out, which is poured out for many. But then he makes this comment. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God. Matthew's translation says it this way: take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup, drink all from it, for this is the blood of the covenant which poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day I will drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. And then he sang a hymn, and we know he goes to the Mount of Olives. And so this communion, this Passover, seems not only to be looking back, but also of what will happen. It seems to give a glimpse of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord. And if we are not careful, we will overlook the power of the blood. Revelations 1 and 8 says this: I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and the hell in the grave. What did our Lord do when he filled us with the Holy Ghost? Or what did he do when he died on that cross and shed his blood for the sins of humanity? He took the keys to death and hell. But not only that, we find in the book of Colossians, it says this: buried with him in baptism, wherein he also are risen with him through faith in the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. But this is the part I need you to understand. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh, having quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. See, we just kind of go, oh, he washed away our sin. That's not quite the word picture of this story. See, if you really understood it, it would bring a whole different mindset to you. Sis, will you do me a favor? Will you hold this for me? Just hold this up here. Just stand up here and hold it. The word picture that Paul is writing of is when you owed me a debt, we would write it on a parchment. And you would sign it on the bottom line. I would sign it. There would be a telling that you owe me because of whatever. New car. You killed my cow. I don't know. Bad driving. Killed the cow. I don't know. And when the price was paid, they would sit down together and they would take vinegar. They would take water. And there's another substance which I can't remember. And they would take it and they would begin to wipe it on the ink of the parchment, until the vinegar and whatever else began to deteriorate the ink. And all that would be left on the bottom was the names, letting everybody know. And they would take this parchment and they would nail it to the front of their house or on the lawn. And it would let everybody know that once what you owed is now paid. When you would look at what was owed in the past, it's no longer there. Do you realize that the blood of Jesus, it wipes away the ordinances that were against you? And when your adversary sees you, all he sees is they've been bought with a price, and the price, I don't got power over them because God has done a work in their lives. But it doesn't stop there. It says this: having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over in it. And so when you take this, communion was a foreshadow of the second coming, when God would come and fill his people with the Holy Ghost. And he is telling them, not only will I wash away the sins that you could not have forgiven, but I'm going to do a work against your adversary and leave him powerless. The word picture of having spoiled principalities, Paul is depicting when a general would walk into Rome, he would lead the charge. You two stand up. You two stand up. Yeah, two looking guys right there. Stand right there. And so the kings and the princes and all those of power of whatever nation Rome conquered, the victorious general would come in on his chariot. And the people of Rome would line the roadway, and they would throw, you read, they would all dress in white, and they would throw roses and flowers out in the front of this parading general who's been a conqueror over their enemy. And they would parade them through the streets, letting everybody know that Rome is more powerful than every adversary. That's why the passage says, to some we're the smell of life, to some we're the smell of death. Paul is speaking of the same thing, of the triumphal entry when a general would come in. Some, when the roses would come, to those who would live, it was the smell of life. But to those who would die, it would be a smell of death. And do you realize when you partake of communion, what Paul is saying is God has already defeated every adversary. He's torn down every high thing that has come against you. He's torn down every ordinance. When you're taking it, there is a forward room looking, saying, God, you have done so much for me. You've defeated my enemy. You've defeated my sin. You've defeated my shame. I got power over my adversary. You got to take your communion, understanding it, saying, God, when I take it, it's a reminder of what you've done for me and how you have set me free. Or we could take it like we always do. I wish they'd give a bigger cracker. I wish that when you're hungry, you will. I wish they'd give a bigger cup. And so when you take it, it's a reminder that when he was nailed to the cross, he took every sin and he took the power of your enemy and he washed it and wiped it all away. And so we've looked back at why we've looked forward to what it meant to them then. But then there's the final outlook. Go back again and we read the book of Mark. Take it, this is my body. Took the cup, said drink. Told them to all drink from it. This is the blood of my covenant which poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink in the new kingdom of God. There is a future hope. This shadowing, this particular line speaks of, according to many theologians, the Messianic Supper or the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so when you take it, you take it not only saying, look what God brought me from, saying, look what God has done for me now, but there is also a future hope. We're going to do this again, but we're going to do it in my Father's kingdom. We're going to do it again, but we're going to do it again when in the kingdom of God. There is this future hope that looks, and that when you take the blood and you take the bread, or you take the wine and the bread, you are looking, saying, God, you've already prepared a place for me, that where you are, I'm going to be also. I don't know about you, but it excites me to know that there is coming a day when I will sit in the presence of God, not with pain in my body, not with sickness in my body, not with the shame of yesterday, not with the memory of what's happened, but a hope that there's going to be a day when I will take my crown and I will throw it at his feet and I will bless him forevermore. Come on, there is coming a day where we will live in a city where the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, he will be the light. Oh, come on, can we clap our hands to the Lord right now, everybody? Come on, I want to remind you, you need to take it with faith. There is coming a day where I will walk on streets of gold. There is coming a day where I will live forever in the presence of my God. Come on, you need to get excited. There is a day where all this pain's going to go away. I won't face any more trials. I'm going to dance on streets of gold. I'm going to see the lost loved ones that have gone before me, and I will live forever with my God. Can you clap your hands one more time to the Lord right now? Come on, one more time, clap your hands to the Lord. One more time, clap your hands to the Lord right now. Go ahead and get it. So I like what it says. Here's your banquet hall. I saw a city, Jerusalem, come down from heaven. It has the glory of God and the radiance like a very fine jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. Right, it goes on to say this. Foundation of the wall, the city were adorned with every jewel, first jasper. He goes on to let us know. Streets were pure gold, transparent as glass. In here we know that there will be a time where there will be no tears, no fear, no pain. And all things will be made new. And so in the next few moments, was there someone besides me supposed to do communion? No, okay, he didn't tell me to do this part. So I will have it here in just a second. That old familiar passage we often read. So as we begin to take it, we have three vistas in which we look. We can look for the yesterday there. There, I've heard you preach so many times. You got to be careful, and you do. We are not minimizing or marginalizing at all the looking back, making sure that our hearts are right. But if we focus only there, we will forget the fact that when they did that, God had already had a plan. I have a plan, a place for you to go. Have your shoes on. Have your garment ready. Have your bags packed. But then your trials, they're not because God has forgotten you, but rather God will give you victory, showing you that, you know what? When you take my body and drink my blood, there are things that I will give you victory over. We quickly move from that foreshadow as they walk through the cloud and through the sea, and we move our way all the way to when Jesus walks on earth. Again, he came. He was our Passover. And to be with him, we have to take, we have to eat. We have to understand. But in doing so, again, he stripped your adversary of all the weapons and the ordinances that he would use against you. But stuck in the midst of all of that is that, again, final focus I want to remind you of, and that is, he said, hey, we're going to do this again. But it's going to be a different place. The next time we do it, it's going to be as we sit around the table of the King. I wonder right now, if we get ready to get the bread and the cup, if we can stand in wherever you are. Maybe right now you are looking backwards and the enemy is reminding you of you yesterday. I wonder if you can take your eyes and put them on your future. And remind yourself, I'm going to keep walking because there is coming a day where there will be no more pain. Can you lift your voice? Come on, can you lift your voice? All across